Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, you got a podcast to plug?
I'm waiting the dog. Let's see if the dog freaks out. I haven't done this in a while. Yeah, Tony, we got a new Be More Opinionated podcast coming out. I think Danny's super producer's going to drop it today. Easy chopper, not yet, hon. We got Hunter Harvey on the cast this week. Orioles prospect. First round pick from a couple years ago. More arm trouble this year. Copper ain't a fan. Copper thinks he's going to the pen. He don't think he can start no more.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, we're live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. We are doing this. We're starting at 6:30 or so on Wednesday night, Wednesday, August 15th. Why are we doing it? Because I hadn't talked in a while. I just really wanted to talk. I woke up yesterday and I said, I want to talk. I don't have anything in particular to say.
Nothing on the Nats?
I got some of that, but it's been a while since I've had anything to say out loud, so I'm happy to do this. Gary Braun is here. Tori Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser, back from Kalamazoo, Michigan, is here. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. Rob Stronach, taking time away from his important job at the Hay Adams Hotel, is here and wanted to remind me to say to Peter Corisoniti and his new bride, Ashley, congratulations. Peter works for Binghamton now. He's the coordinator of player development on the basketball squad. But he was a GA. He was a grad assistant at Syracuse where he went to school, right, Rob? He went to Syracuse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just got married over the weekend, and Boeheim was there, and all the people from the Syracuse basketball program were there.
Fantastic.
So now that he's a Binghamton kid, we wish him all the best.
We have a stack of wedding invites that you tossed to the side.
Yeah, I didn't want to do any right now. Maybe later in the show we'll do some. I want to remind people, if you hear this tonight, that restaurant week in Washington, D.C. is ongoing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Book
and
a flight.
You can come to Chatter, and you can have this fabulous three-course meal. It's at $35, right?
It was here.
Do we have
somewhere
the copy?
It was here. Maybe it got buried.
Now I don't have the copy anymore.
Yeah.
It's $35. Can somebody go get me some copy on this?
Get him a copy.
$35.
It has to be here.
It's not here.
Is it one of these?
It's not one of those, okay?
So, why are you trying to
look at that. It's one of those.
It's one of these. All right. $35. Oh, it goes through Sunday. I'm sorry. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for $35. You get three courses, including as a third course, fabulous homemade desserts from my daughter, Elizabeth. And these are great, particularly
the brownies.
The brownies
a game changer.
Sunday is spectacular. There is a $35. That's it. That's it. And you get one adult beverage listed below. House wines, draft beer, canned beer, or a non-alcoholic beverage. $35. This is the greatest deal in the world.
It's a fantastic deal.
It is. It's Restaurant Week in Washington. And the menu is great. So please come in for that. I played golf today, and I told everybody they should come in for this. So I was thinking on my way to the golf course today, I was thinking about the fact that when you hear modern songs, like current contemporary songs, lyrically, they don't seem to be all that good. They seem
Can
to
you
be,
name a current?
I can't.
You know, it's funny that
repetitive.
You say that, though.
They're repetitive,
because
right?
My 17-year-old daughter Sydney thinks it's poetry and what I listen to is crap.
I think it's
a stage of life thing.
Okay,
too,
but I thought about this. I actually thought it came into my head. I was going to say, they don't write great lyrics anymore. Do you want to hear great lyrics? And this was the thing that first came into my head. Long, tall Sally, she's built for speed. She's got everything that Uncle John needs. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. That was great. Woo-hoo-hoo. That's little Richard Penniman. That's like 65 years ago. One more time. You don't think they wrote great stuff? It wasn't just Cole Porter.
It wasn't just Cole Porter.
It was long, tall Sally. She's built for speed. She's got everything that Uncle John needs. Oh, baby. All right, we need to talk. We're going to have Barry Zwerluga on in a little while. And he wrote a spectacular column today, which essentially said, get rid of all
Blow
of them.
It up.
Oh, get yeah. rid of all of them, including the president. Wallace, get him out. New AD, president, football coach, DJ Durkin. We don't. He hasn't even been here long enough that we know what DJ stands for. And I would point this out. Here's who he's not. He's not Urban Meyer. Okay, there's not a lot
not
of people.
Not Harbaugh. That
right.
was the hope.
He's
remember?
Not a lot of people, you know, who won national championships. He didn't win.
No.
I believe Urban Meyer's got two. One in Florida and one in Ohio State. Okay, I would say DJ Durkin has two fewer than that.
Yes.
DJ Durkin
has
and
a lot
I,
of people.
We have the same amount of national championships, and that would be zero. Everybody knows this story. It's a national story now. A kid died. Kid didn't have to die. He could have been put in an ice bath right away. He would have lived. I saw doctors on TV say it's 100%.
Not, yes, I was going to say not
100. It's not
100%. Not could have lived.
Yeah, would have lived.
Yeah.
And there was a story at ESPN a few days ago that just laid out the Maryland program. I don't know how much of that was true and how much of it wasn't. I don't know how many sources were there. I haven't heard a lot of denials about
this. Jabril Peppers chiming in today. Did you see that?
No, what did he say?
He's saying like, his tactics seemed extreme at times.
The coach.
Yeah, saying DJ Durkin. Said, Jabril Peppers was at Michigan, I guess, right. when Durkin was there.
Well, it's not all on the coach. It's the you know what?
The
invention
the culture
of,
comes from the coach.
That's right. But the invention of the strength and conditioning coach, all of those guys, their job in their minds is to be drill sergeants.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But don't, please don't take the bait. I mean, the way they have paraded that guy out there and
they fired him.
Well, I don't even want to say Jet. I mean, he walked away with $300,000
in a
settlement. But if they were foolish if they thought somehow that was going to satisfy
the
masses.
And
Durkin's on the record of saying that you judge a coach by his relationship with his strength and conditioning
team. They have to be on the same page.
Now, they're all like this. Not all of them. Players don't die everywhere. But when players die of heat exhaustion, you can usually find a strength and conditioning coach on a sled yelling at
and
someone.
And some of the details of some of the stuff that has been reported, that not in this particular case, but some of the tactics that they've used are astonishing. Like I read some reports where when guys were too exhausted to stand up, they would have coaches or other players interlock their legs around each of the guy's legs so essentially that he was forced upright to continue working on. I mean, it's some of this stuff is how do you think it's going to end?
Let me turn to the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the ESPN. I have consumed every bit of this and watching the ESPN piece of it. And I turned to somebody and I said, if one third of it is true, and it seemed very, very well sourced, that's what I was looking for, is true, this is awful. And the physical
this
abuse,
is, by the way, football all over America.
Yeah. The ridicule, including this obsession with what they ate.
High school,
and they
too.
Didn't eat, forcing one of them to eat so much that he was throwing up just to make fun of them. There was a real...
Well, forcing one to sit and eat candy bars while the others
practice.
But
there was
it's private pile.
Even the harmless stuff
was private pile.
This is, on a lot of levels, this is what the Army was with basic training for many, many years, because you're trying to forge bonds and units, it's terrible.
Yeah, and there was a viciousness.
This isn't war. It's
there was
football.
A viciousness,
it's not war.
And there was humiliation as part of it,
which
these guys who were in charge, I'm sure, got a kick out of
and
when they were
college
doing it.
College student athletes, it should be reminded.
All right, Michael, you're the closest person here to someone who's just in college. You're most recently a graduate. I don't know that they do this at Penn. It's not a big-time program, but maybe they do. What are your thoughts? Can Durkin keep his job?
Absolutely not. And this goes all the way up to the president. What happened this week where you have the new AD and the president not visiting the family for a month and a half, 2 months, and only doing that this week, that is unforgivable on the part of the university. What was so great about Barry's piece was he opens up by looking at the mission statement. These are mission-driven schools. You're here to educate these kids. Yes, sports is part of that. But you have a promise. There's a covenant that these kids, that these families are signing into with these schools, and they let everybody down.
Now, you will notice that a lot of parents who have children who are having a satisfactory or even salutary relationship with DJ Durkin are coming to his defense, as I would expect.
Yeah,
as I would expect.
They have to.
But I don't know that defense rises to the actual issue
here. And shame on them. I'm sorry, shame on those parents. Again, if half or one third of what we've heard is true, it's horrible, it's awful, it can't be defended, but these parents are looking at their sons thinking, this is my gravy train, and I don't want anything to upset my gravy train.
Because you're smarter than I, and you've
done...
That's
a low bar.
Thank you, it is. You've done PR for a long time, so I'm going to tell you what I think the spin is here. When Wallace Lowe got up, the president of Maryland...
Goofy in the tie.
When he got up and he said... We take full responsibility on this, and we take moral and legal responsibility. I think what he was saying was, we're not going open court on this one. We will write you a check for any number you name, but we are not going to open court.
Yeah. Oh, I agree completely. And I do, but I mean, it's not too little too late. It probably will save them, and it probably will save his job, because he looked like a stand-up guy. Most people are not aware that this has been going on for a month and a half, right? Most people are new to this story. And he looked like a stand-up guy saying, we apologize fully. Yes. We take full responsibility.
That's not a stand-up move, though. That's about not wanting people deposed, not wanting people questioned and testifying openly.
And the fact that, as you say, nothing happened. In this investigation, nothing happened until after the ESPN report.
Right.
Let's put some people on administrative leave after that. Yeah. I mean, it's so reactionary at that point.
It looks horrible.
I'm just going to go back in time. I'm going to go back to 1986. Lenny Bias. And I remember I was writing a column for the Washington Post then, and I went to a press conference that Lefty Driesell had. And Lefty Driesell is a Hall of Fame coach. Lefty Driesell built the Maryland program. He did it. Lefty Driesell did that. He instituted Midnight Madness. He did all of that. He was a showman. He was P.T. Barnum, and he could coach. He's in the Hall of Fame because he could coach. But he had to go up there and talk about Len Bias. And I wrote a column, and you could look this up. That day, the first day the Lefty spoke to a group, and I said, he's never coaching again. He's got the look of somebody who understands, as he walked away, that's it. And he never coached at Maryland again. Right. He did not. It led down the road to Gary Williams, also a Hall of Fame coach. But Lefty,
emotionally broken as well as,
It looked that way, and you just thought Maryland was going to make a move. Now, they had a lot more time to do it. Because that happened in June or July,
June.
They weren't playing again until October or November.
Right,
They got an interim coach out there now. It's not the guy they want.
No, it's O'Kennedy, right?
Yeah, he may be the right guy right now because he's the best of a lot, but he's not. He could maybe win the job, but he's not the guy they want. The guy they want is DJ Durkin, and I don't know that they can keep him.
Now, I have heard, there's obviously speculation about what will happen to the program at large in terms
of... They're going to compete in the Big Ten is what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, there's too much at stake.
It's a big money maker.
If Baylor can't get dinged, if Michigan State can't get dinged...
Well, no, they're not... This is not something that the NCAA suspends a program for. It is not. It's not. You fire a coach, you move on, you continue with that program.
You just blow up
this
the program.
This is not Jerry Sandusky.
You don't kill the program, you just...
They're
blow
not
it
even
up
going,
in terms of.
I would not argue for them to go on probation at all. I would.
No,
not
I'm saying. I'm saying the punishment. Any punishment would be in turn would be the university saying we're turning over the entire program.
The university can't do. The university can't get out. They joined the Big Ten for the football money. They're going to compete. Their players have the right to compete. That whatever's left of that coaching staff, and I don't know what that's going to be. They've got to put them in positions to do the best that they can. But you think Durkin's gone?
I think he has to be. I don't see how he survived.
Michael, you think Durkin's gone?
Tori, if you have a junior in high school, top 100, 200 player in the country, what are the chances, 1 to 100, you would let him go play for this coaching staff at that school?
Low.
Well, Penn State turned it over completely, and within 2 to 3 years with Bill O'Brien, they were a competitive team, and he's coaching the Houston Texans now.
This feels icky to even suggest, but I'm just saying, as the victims in that situation were not the kids were being sent to the university. So the question is, would you send your kid to a school that this happened when they were tasked with watching
your kid? Most parents are going to send their kids to a school if they think going to that school, playing in that program, increases the likelihood that they'll go to the pros.
Yeah.
That's where most parents are going to do it.
And I would wonder, for somebody like Gary Braun, who has a daughter who has a good chance to play intramural club-level sports, would you feel comfortable sending her to this school as you are an in-state guy?
Yeah, just for the tuition break, though.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with how I feel.
Just want her out of the house.
But I'm married to a Maryland alum who's not happy about it. I've spoken to Kevin Sheehan.
How about the
recently.
Penn State people? They're not happy about what happened there. You can't be happy about this. But what they will tell you is, this is a fine school, and we're going to get better as a result of this.
Right.
They're going to expect people to keep coming.
By the way, small correction: Urban Meyer with 3 national championships, 2 with Florida, and 1 with Ohio State.
Tim Tebow.
That's right. Yeah, 06 and 08.
So he has 3 more than Tony and DJ Durkin. Okay.
Combined. Right. Take a break. We'll come back. Barry Zwerluga, who wrote a great piece in the Washington Post today about this, will talk to us about this and the Nats. The so
how
sad.
About that bullpen?
It's just
at least
so
they got at least they got
Trinan?
Rid of
so
Trinan.
Sad. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the best ad I get to read. This is the Lowe's ad. I need to read this word for word.
Please
and
do.
Then people need to interrupt every once in a while to ask about my expertise
I'm
with
so
tools.
I'm so proud of you.
So I want to talk to you about Lowe's, my new go-to destination for craftsman products. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. Michael, you lived in my home for a very long time. How am I on projects around
you're
the home?
You're Tony the Tool Man, Kornheiser.
That's right. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are mechanics tool sets in gunmetal finish. What's so great about that? Well, that gunmetal chrome finish, it's corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, and I am, it makes them easier to clean. Lowe's carries a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. That's if you think 51's not enough, you've got to have more,
yes.
You can get the 81. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility.
Do you have nurse ratchet?
Do you know what a ratchet is?
Sure. I'm just thinking there are so many ways one could take one's interpretation of this copy.
It's a great read.
None of them have anything to do with do it yourself.
So if one of your projects, Tori, happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120 tooth ratchet. Not just 32 teeth like in a human mouth, but 120 teeth. It has a 3-degree arc swing.
Thank God.
Don't know what that does? I didn't, but I do now. A 3-degree arc swing means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots.
Right.
Michael, did you ever see me get to a hard-to-reach spot? No.
I could have used that.
I
could have used that yesterday, replacing the start relay and capacitor in my beer fridge
the
in my
flux
garage.
Capacitor?
Yes,
ooh.
I could have used
with
that.
With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Nobody knows that better than I. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or DIY project on your list. DIY, for those people who are novices, is do-it-yourself. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Such a small place, I was told to stand in this space. Don't move, she said, you'll get used to it.
This is from Jeff Page, who's the drummer for Los Angeles band Leslie Pereira and the Lazy Heroes. And he writes, we've been so happy to hear our songs on your high-quality podcast over the last year. We want to send you a picture of support. Everybody is wearing Tony Kornheiser's shirts or chatter shirts. Wonderful. Jeff writes, we've been working hard on new songs for our next record, but in the meantime, we'd like you to hear another song from our previous band. It's Me, Margaret, and the song Don't Give Up. We hope to someday make our way to D.C. for an audience with Mr. Tony. This is
it's fantastic.
Everybody who listens to this podcast talks about the high quality of the music. The quality of the music is spectacular. If we're going to talk about high quality, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, Barry Zwerluga's column today in the Washington Post is high quality. I had a few of these myself where you basically say, okay, this is the deal. Get out and don't let the door hit you on your way out. You were very critical of the president, of the AD, and the head coach today of Maryland. He came from Michigan. Barry, who needs to go and why?
Well, I think it's really, really easy to start with the head coach, DJ Durkin. And I think that that is now not only inevitable, it's indisputable. He oversaw a situation where if we're to believe the ESPN report, and I believe the ESPN report that dropped last Friday night, in which it described a culture in the program of regularly berating and humiliating and going out of their way to demean players, he's the CEO of that program. What we know now is that kind of the centerpiece of that report, Rick Court, the strength coach, is no longer employed at the University of Maryland. And so if he is not fit to be employed there, his boss and the person that he has, that Durkin has identified, I have to be in complete concert with the strength coach. The head coach and the strength coach have to be on the same page, because otherwise the entire program doesn't work. Then the head coach must go. Now, I would say there's a separate issue involving the athletic director and the president of the university, Wallace Lowe, because, as I said in my column, this is a university that argues that it is a leader, a global leader in anything, it doesn't really matter, that failed to have in place basic best practices to deal with the safety of the people that they're entrusted with. I don't think that you can... Wallace Lowe stood up there and said the university takes moral and legal responsibility for this situation that our trainers created. That's not what a real leader does. A real leader says, this happened on my watch. I am responsible for this. This will never happen again, which they did say. But in taking responsibility, Wallace Lowe shifted responsibility, and I think that's damning for him.
So I don't want to sandbag you. I'm going to tell you what I said in the previous segment. He took all this responsibility so he doesn't ever have to go to open court. He will write a check to whatever that family wants, and they will never go to open court. That is, in my mind, tactical. And you have this interim AD with skeletons in his closet, in, you know, of a personal level that everybody knows about, with DUI and stuff like that. And he gets on the job. The crime here is that it went X amount of days and nobody reached out to the family, right? I mean, that's why they got to go,
well,
right?
Okay. So there is that issue, but they, just to be fair, and I'm going to kill him on the backside of this, but
right.
they Evan spent time at the hospital in between May 29th when Jordan McNair collapsed and June 13th when he died, and Wallace Lowe visited the hospital at one point as well. What they went there yesterday to say was, we apologize. That was 63 days after Jordan McNair died. 63 days later, they decided we should probably say this happened on our watch. We apologize. They hid behind their own independent investigation that was moving at a snail's pace, or in this case, maybe a terrapin's pace, and decided we're not going to say anything until September 15th-ish, when the results of that independent investigation came out. The ESPN report sped up their timetable on that. If their timetable could be sped up, why did they wait? Why did that family that has lost a son have to wait for an apology? An apology, by the way, that doesn't mean anything. It's histrionics. And Lowe said, I wanted to make that apology in private, and then got on the road and drove at 95 miles an hour down 95 back to College Park so that he could make the apology public. There's a lot of disingenuousness going on around here, I think. And, I mean, we could talk about this one for an hour, to be honest with you.
Well, this is, I also talked about this, and I'm old enough to remember this, and you're not. I mean, because you weren't in the area at that time. This is Lefty. This is Lefty at a press conference walking off the lectern in Cole Fieldhouse back into the locker room area, and me writing a column I'm not tooting my own horn, I wasn't the only one who did this,
no.
Who said, we're not going to see this guy coach this team again, that's it, it's over. And that was, and they had months, they had 4 months before somebody came. And in this particular case, there's no way Durkin coaches, right? There's no way. It's just in the hands of lawyers now, right?
It can't, I don't see how. They, as I said before, they have ousted the strength coach based on the ESPN report. And a report that our reporters at the Washington Post have corroborated pieces of, that the culture, not everybody thinks that the culture was bad, but enough
That's
people
right.
think.
Because they're football people.
They
they're used to this.
People with disrespect, and that's the way that they motivated.
Yes.
It's an outdated way of motivating somebody. And Durkin is responsible for that. So if Damon Evans, who's no longer the interim AD, but is in fact the permanent AD, decided that Rick Court had to go, and yes, it was allowed to be a resignation, and yes, $315,000 to go away. That's not a bad deal. But if he decides that Rick Court has to go, that is one step away, and really not even a step, that DJ Durkin has to go.
I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. But this seems to me a reasonable legal question. Can the family sue Court? You know, that you murdered my child? You led to the death of my child, you personally? How does he walk away with $315,000? How does he do that?
Well, I don't know. I think you hit it on the head earlier, Tony, in that I do think that the family will sue probably the university, because the university can write a much larger check much more quickly than Rick Court can. Now, I'm going to tread lightly here because I haven't pushed down this path, but I have had readers and some readers who have some knowledge in this area say you should ask about, you know, criminal liability here.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting.
I would just say that's a question that could be asked. It's a question that's out there. I'm not down that path yet, but I don't think it's crazy to talk about.
Now, I should also say and get your opinion on this, because there is a news story about, the headline is Parents, Former Terps Show Support for Durkin. I find that understandable. They played in his program. They felt that it was a good program. They felt that, you know, their children or the athletes themselves got something out of it. Football players, athletes in general, are used to being sort of verbally and physically abused, particularly in these sorts of sports. I mean, it's de rigueur. Everybody thinks that's the way you do it, right?
Well, I think the point there is that there are 85 scholarship players on a football team. So there is room for a wide variety of opinions and reactions to whatever the coaching methods are in place. The problem I have in getting reaction from readers, and I've heard from really both sides of the aisle, like, oh my gosh, I can't, it's so embarrassing for the university, I went there and all these people have to go, to like, I can't believe you're saying this, wait for the facts to play out. If there are 85 scholarship athletes and then training staff and coaches, and then if you extend it past that, people who have recently graduated or left the program, there's room for a variety of opinions. Yeah. As to what the appropriateness of the methods used to coach this team were. I would just say that if the sitting athletic director decided that the strength coach had to go, he found enough factual information to say, this is not acceptable. And what that will lead him to is, if that wasn't acceptable, then DJ Durkin endorsed that entire methodology. He has to go.
You know Durkin is going to go. You made that very clear. You've said it here and you wrote it in the column. How confident are you that the AD goes? How confident are you that the president goes? President, that's a big deal.
I'm not confident. I think all of that is on the table. I think it was really interesting and somewhat reprehensible that Damon Evans, who took over the interim job last fall and was on the job as the interim athletic director for almost all of the 2017-2018 academic year, described himself yesterday as the new athletic director.
Yeah, that was cheesy.
And said, when I took this job in July, my chief objective was to investigate this to the fullest I could.
No, you had the job for a year. You were the acting athletic director, right?
Have some curiosity. Have some, you know, try to figure out that, you know, you're the person. If you wanted the job, show that you're in charge. That was an embarrassing statement for him. And it's distancing himself from the circumstance, a circumstance over which he oversaw. So that was ridiculous, and I think it could be used against him. Low, I think, and I pointed this out on the column, that, you know, he said, we take full, as I said earlier, we take full responsibility, except we take it for the mistakes that our trainers made, he immediately is accepting responsibility and then stiff-arming that responsibility. I think I came short of writing, this really needs to bring him down as well. I think it diminishes the university as a whole. I think it diminishes the people who are leaders at this point. I've heard from professors and people at the university that still have support for Lowe. I think we need to see what that report said and kind of understand whether I think it is all on the table, and I think anybody and everybody could lose their jobs. I just don't think it's like a done deal that they all will.
I thought you wrote a great column. I was thinking to myself how I would have written it, and I would have said DJ Durkin would have been my first sentence, Wallace Lowe, and then Damon Evans. Damon and Evans. I would have said, there's the door, use it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm old, you know, I would have done. Let me get to.
No, it's a great call. It's a terrible circumstance.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah. So let me get to another topic here, because I haven't been on the show in a while. The Nets and their complete and utter collapse. The manager seems one step behind on every decision. The pitching coach, I have no idea how this guy has his job. I have no idea whatsoever. I don't even understand how he got the job. The bullpen is on Rizzo, I think, and I love Rizzo, but the bullpen's on Rizzo. This is, you can't get beat two nights in a row like that. You just can't. And then hand the ball to Gio. I mean, you just can't. They're done, right? I mean, I know you know that they're not really done, but your heart says they're done, right?
Well, now my heart and my mind both say they're done. I mean, a couple nights ago, after the Cubs game, you had to say, okay, mathematically, that was 162nd
That's
of
right.
season.
Then they did it again.
And then they did it again. So I would say, I don't want to get into defending anybody, but the simple statement I would say is, if Sean Doolittle is healthy, they win Sunday night's game and they win Monday night's game. I'm not saying that means they make the playoffs, but Sean Doolittle and Kelvin Herrera are both hurt. Mattson and his incredible histrionics after he gave up the grand slam on
but his back
Sunday night. That was crazy. That was crazy.
That was high school,
so
man.
This is not the Nats year. We have seen this before. They have been set up to win since 2012 every year. That's seven seasons since 2012. After this year, they will have won four division titles, and they will have not won three of them. This is one of those years where a series of events, and I do not, one thing I don't disagree with you on is the manager is a step behind.
Ugh.
And how many games that costs them is always an impossible thing to quantify, but this team, a team that Dusty Baker led to back-to-back division titles, was handed to a guy who had never managed at any level and was expected. Obviously, he knows the game. He knows how clubhouses work. But there is a difference when you're sitting in the big chair and he has not adjusted swiftly enough or well enough.
I say this all the time. Just because you sit next to Joe Maddon
doesn't mean you are
Joe Maddon.
He
gets to a point where a decision has to be made, and he recognizes that. And then he makes the wrong decision. And that's what, you know.
What was his line the other day? I simply don't know what to do.
I think he wants to be liked too much by the players. Yeah.
Well, that is a big issue.
I do.
So there's an issue here with, you know, the player's manager. How does that works great at spring training. Hey, we're relaxed. Oh, this is great. I brought a camel.
Camels.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right, don't take this out on the camels.
Yeah.
Camels. Do not take
Corey
this out on the camels.
Is in charge of camels.
Come on.
Not Dave Martinez.
Who was it who said he treats us like men? He lets us wear earrings. Remember that?
Okay. So, but what I would say is, Davey Martinez for Joe Maddon was the guy who took care of problems in the clubhouse and decided, what do I need to go to Joe with? What is a big enough issue and what fires can we put out before it reaches the managerial level when he really needs to know? I would, and I'm not trying to let Martinez off on anything because I think he's wholly responsible for a lot of this. But I would argue, does he have somebody as an in-between that can put out fires in the clubhouse? I think the evidence shows that he does not.
Does not.
Because when there were fires in the clubhouse, Brandon Kintzler was traded and Sean Kelly spiked his glove and then was blown to the moon.
Rizzo like, had to come in and be the disciplinarian, Rizzo, exactly, and that shouldn't happen.
So there's a flaw in personality, but there's also a flaw in structure, I think.
Listen, it's very kind of you to be on the show. When we resume, we'll have you in here, and thank you for all this. And again, that's an A++ column. That's a great column. Thank you, Barry.
Means a lot, Tony. I appreciate it.
Barry Svaluga, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the ZipRecruiter ad. And option one says personal anecdote and asks me to do this. Talk about how challenging hiring is. Like, it's hard to find qualified candidate. It takes a long time. Too many applicants. I've never hired anybody.
Is there an option two?
You hired us.
Option two.
You did hire us.
Option two is better for me. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. And that place is ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. I have hired two people in my life. I got this job, and so I had to hire Nigel, who was easy, and Michael, who needed a job. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, they're both still there.
Nicely
done.
They're
still
here.
About 1,000.
And I think they're happy. I think Nigel's happy. I'm not sure about Michael. But, Michael, are you happy at this job?
Depends on what you ask. I think that's another pop-up episode.
With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Oh, it says spell out Tony. That's T-O-N-Y, baby. ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
There's a light at the end of the night, and the red sun tells me to go. Hit the gas, prepare to bypass. Life as we know it, no one knows. There's a girl at the end of the block.
This is Dave Ridgway and the Originators. The title track from the upcoming album, Hello DC, which will be released September 15th. That's in about 3 weeks. No, it's a month. You guys are the first to play it. How cool is it that our favorite show is the first to play our new album? We're performing live to support the album August 29th. This is the 15th,
soon.
So 2 weeks at the Velvet Lounge. September 7th at the Electric Maid. And the album release party will be at Bethesda Board Skate Shop September 15th. Dave Ridgway and the Originators. Nice. Michael, if people like Dave Ridgway and the Originators want to send us his stuff, how do they do it?
Send us your original music by emailing it to the show at jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
We haven't been selling anything for a while.
No, and we have the official Wine Tyrant bottle stopper that you can get to save your bottles of wine at home.
So, speaking of the Wine Tyrant, she was here
she
with
was
baby
here.
Boy Bootsy.
Oh, he's going big.
Where's baby boy Bootsy now?
So, again, you don't seem to understand the timeline of a child under the age of two. He's not walking yet.
Why isn't he walking?
What
kind of parents are you that this child is not walking?
Helicopter parents.
Yeah.
So he goes to bed at 7. The bedtime routine takes 30 to 40 minutes. He needs stories read to him. He has a bath.
Yeah.
So he's hopefully
this
getting ready
soft.
For bed.
He's a soft kid.
Yeah, why don't we send him to Maryland?
Yeah, that's right. You need a strength and conditioning coach in that
WFT.
The baby boy Bootsy looks great.
Looks fabulous. Yes.
What's the over-under on the walking?
Oh, I think...
4 years old?
No, I think the next 2 weeks. We thought he was going to walk out in Michigan because we were out on the lake.
Yeah.
Out on the beach, sand is a very soft place to fall. He is... doing a lot of freestanding. He's doing some wobbling. I try and trick him in the morning. I'll take his favorite toy, which is a little phone, and I'll hold it just out of reach to see if he'll make that first step.
That'll come back in the
therapy. You know what I do with Chessie? I play the frisbee game with Chessie, and I throw the frisbee, and Chessie has to go run and get it.
Well, you got to walk before you can run.
Have you thought of playing the Frisbee game with the baby
boy?
Yeah,
we have noticed, though, that he has a strong affinity for the color yellow.
Okay.
All of his blocks and toys that are yellow, he holds on to them.
That's good.
Well, maybe.
So you can like toss the yellow and see if he walks to it.
Toss the yellow. Okay, yeah. I'll take that home.
Nigel wearing Tonto Peronto tactical shades. Where nice. Do we get those?
I purchased these. Remember, I got a soul
pair
of them, and I keep
because
one.
Because the sun is coming in right
in
his eyes.
West facing studio. West facing studio.
Yeah, it's right in my eyes right now.
But it's good because now some nice guests who are having dinner thought it was okay to put their sunglasses on.
Yo, everybody put on.
Look at that.
Everybody at the bar put on sunglasses.
Put on your shades.
Everybody eating restaurant week, three-course meal for $35.
Just $35.
With a beer. Put on
for 47 bucks, they'll throw on a chatter shirt, right?
That's right. For 47, you have chatter
shirt. Your future's so bright, you have to wear shades.
So what's the news?
Did you have anything else you want to say about the Washington Nationals?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. The bullpen stinks.
Yes, it does.
All right? And it stunk for years. And it has stunk for years. And now, this is what I'm going to say now has no basis in fact. It's just what I believe. All right? As soon as any reliever has a bad day, they go on the disabled list, which is saying this is not me.
We saw this 6 weeks ago when they blamed the manager. He gets me hot too many times. He pulls me up. He sends me down. Sammy Solis, you should never bring him in a game where it's a meaningful pitch because he was broken. He got sent down when they had to make room for Murphy to come back up. Every one of these guys
and
is to taking
think
it too personal.
Dusty used to get crushed for...
They go on the DL,
overworking,
which is an abdication of personal responsibility. Nobody says, I did bad.
Right.
They say, I was hurt. This starts with Steven Strasburg. I'm sorry. It starts with... He's been unavailable basically all year.
How many weeks has he actually played?
I don't know how many starts he has. That's
you have Max Scherzer, who is an alpha dog, and you have everybody else
isn't. How about Scherzer's last three games?
Oh.
Scherzer's last two. He's gone 14 innings, allowed one earn, and struck out 18, and has two no decisions.
That's just heartbreaking. That.
I'm telling you, I think this pitching... I don't know who he is, and I don't know why he's employed. And everyone, nobody says, this is on me. They say, I'm hurt. And it's sad. And I hope they win every single game and make the playoffs. But I've reached that point where even I don't doubt them.
How about
this? I doubt them now.
The team now has promos running where they got rid of the ticket fee, which means they're trying to do anything just to get bodies in the stadium for these last 6 weeks.
This is sad.
And you asked
Barry
when he knew it was over, and it was that first game back from the All-Star break. You have the rotation starting with Strasburg and going to Max
which
later in the week.
Should have been spectacular.
Should have been spectacular, except he gets shelled, immediately goes on the DL. And you want to say, at least let the team structure a starting lineup with you out of the picture so you can try and encourage and get guys to stand up.
He's not worth it. He's not worth the money. He's unavailable. I mean, Boswell ripped me for this. Ripped me for 2 years. Not now.
You want to take a
ain't
stab
me now.
At games played and innings pitched for Strauss this year?
I'm actually
surprised. Yeah.
15 starts,
okay,
maybe?
Okay, good. Yeah, 14 starts, 85 innings.
Out of how many games
85
played?
85 innings.
They're
120
over
in.
That's
85 innings.
That's not showing up.
You know, and it's always the same visual. There's a pitch.
Well, he's tweaking it.
He looks at his elbow.
And it walks off
and
right
then six guys come out of the dugout and take him out. Like James Brown in the famous
Grand Slam left the yard, and I just said the season's over.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On those many, many days that Strasburg is not playing, because he is the orchid, what is he doing?
Oh.
Is he sitting in an apartment?
He's a guy that
he
loves bullpen sessions. He threw a simulated game today.
Looks great in the pen.
Yeah.
He's a driving range pitcher.
Because everybody around him is telling him how great he looks. Because
I'm a driving range golfer. And he's
throwing off flat ground.
Pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 60 and 60. It does not look good
for them. When do they let the prospects play? You have a third-year team is up for free agency at the end of the season.
Well,
you
got to
see who's going to replace Harper and Murphy.
There's six out of the wild card with 42 games left.
So you think
they can do it.
Harper walks? You don't think he's back?
Oh, everybody with the Nats believes he's going to walk. I hope he doesn't. I hope his season is such that he would be tempted by a three-year, $100 million deal right here.
Right.
And he'd stay for 3 years. We'll see.
Now, one of the former members of the Washington Nationals, who is a reliever and not a very favorite person from this show.
Blake Treinen.
Blake Treinen.
He's an all-star.
He was deported.
Ryan Madsen's worse than he is.
Yeah.
Worse.
And the Oakland Athletics, nobody saw this coming.
They're good.
They are charging hard. They're just a game and a half back of the Astros
in the West. Who are in a tailspin.
Yes. And,
yeah. Trinan's the best relief pitcher in baseball.
That's just amazing.
That.
It's simply
amazing.
Remarkable.
He should have been deported from here.
A couple of other teams that nobody saw coming. Everybody thought, well, the Dodgers will run away with this. Now they got Machado.
No.
Well, the Diamondbacks are in first place. The Dodgers 2 games back, but they're behind the Rockies as well. And I don't think anybody saw the Rockies doing this year.
No, the Rockies are managed by...
Buddy Black.
Where it's all starts.
Buddy Black.
You know what I thought of the other day? But that
is a tip of the hat to George Mitrovich, who loves Buddy Black, and maybe with good reason.
I have a question for myself, but I, of course, lack the follow-through to look into it. And that was the Orioles and Kansas City, I think, both sitting at 36 and 84, 36 wins.
Kansas City won the World Series 4 years ago.
Let me get this up to, what's the up-to-date number? 50 games back? What are they? Something 49 and a half games back.
Yes.
I was wondering,
probably eliminated.
When did Boston...
how could you be that many games?
When did Boston win their 36th game? That'd be interesting to know. I mean, they're 86 and 35 right now.
Somewhere in June.
Yeah. 80. How many games do the Red Sox win? Do you think they break the Mariners' record? Do you think they care about?
They shouldn't, because the Mariners didn't get to the World Series.
Yes, they did not. No. They did.
It helps when a bus goes
rest
by.
Yeah, bus blocks out the sun.
Yes, if they could just park it there, it would be fantastic. I know you wanted to talk about the PGA.
I do.
Brooks Koepka.
I do. No, I don't want to talk about Brooks Koepka.
That doesn't matter.
I want to talk about this part of the PGA. That there was a sense by the end of the event that Belle Reve was an ordinary course and might not be worthy of a major championship. But, and I'm going to yield to Michael on this, but here's my but. That Sunday was so exciting because of Tiger Woods. That is the highest rated PGA since 2009 when Tiger Woods and Y.E. Yang went 18 holes. Because Tiger Woods moves the needle. I believe that what happened on that Sunday will put Belle Reve in a position to be the host of another PGA. The people in the St. Louis area turned out over hundreds of thousands of people, and they did the right thing. They followed Tiger. And that was actually, even though I never felt Tiger would win, there was an excitement. Tiger's front nine, he was never
five
on the
birdies.
Course. He wasn't on the course, and he had five
missed
birdies.
Every fairway.
The birdie on nine was vintage Tiger.
So what I believe, I will yield to you, but I believe that Belle Reve will be favorably looked at because of how great that Sunday was.
What you're forgetting is that there is a large number of courses that want to host these major championships. Every major has a different feel to it, so you really only have, obviously, the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship.
That's
the PGA is moving to May. And that's going to open up different pockets of the country. So all of a sudden you have California, Arizona, Texas. Right now, that's going to add 10 to 15 courses that are eligible and worthy over the next, let's just say, 30 years.
I'll be gone.
A place like Belle Reve, I just think they've lost that window. And you
really?
Looked at it. You looked
Even
at
though it,
it
was such a highly rated...
It was, but the golfers on the inside also referred to it as maybe the weakest course to hold a major championship. And that's because it's a relatively mundane, mid-20th century, you know, architectural design with the way that the greens are designed. But you looked at why it has to go to May, which is the Zoysia fairways, which they have to have in that region to keep the grass alive. They're just, it's like hitting off a mat for these players.
God, I would love to
play. And then when you miss a green, if you look at how difficult it was to pitch, let's just say at Shinnecock, where you have those really tight lies, when you get those Zoysia fairways, there's no penalty. You can miss 30 yards wide. Yeah. We saw Tiger save par after par when he was chipping out of the woods because he lays up to a number. He can get a lot of spin on it, and you can control your golf ball.
And so, Michael, wouldn't you, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Wouldn't you... Any golf course in the world, if Tiger's in contention on Saturday,
big
the
deal.
Crowds
yeah.
are going to show
big
up,
deal.
And they're going to go with him.
I now think Tiger can win a major.
That's what we were talking about.
I mean,
show.
How could you not think
I
that?
Think
after
he can.
What he's done.
No. Yeah.
I think you have to look at next year's Masters and think he's got a great chance to win that just for...
It, yeah.
The swell,
surprise
the
me.
Support yeah. on social media, and even among the players look like they were rooting for
that
him.
That was shocking to me.
And by the way, Jim Furyk, who is a contemporary of Tiger's, has to put him on the Ryder Cup team.
Because
it's
right?
a television show. Phil and Tiger have to be on
and
it
Tiger
in France.
On air right after this tournament was saying, I want to be on the team.
He deserves to be on
yes,
it.
He absolutely does.
Now he deserves to be on
By the way, May 26th, when the Bo Sox won their 36th game.
May.
Wow. It's August 15th.
May. Wow.
It is August 15th. They lost their first game and then went crazy hot. I mean, they something like
good.
Now, that was exciting. I think we can all agree that Tigers' performance is
so exciting.
Very exciting. But was it as exciting as what happened with the DC United on Sunday night?
No.
I actually showed Tony
there?
That before the game. I made
there,
him watch.
Was not there, but saw it. It was spectacular. Okay.
This is soccer, kids.
This is going to make the little so happy.
I'm getting hives.
With DC goalie David Ousted, that's what you say.
Yeah, sure.
He was up for a DC corner kick. The ball comes down the field, and the opponent.
Let me set this up because obviously Gary you don't watch a lot of soccer.
You don't know what
I didn't watch this. I'm reading.
So Orlando.
One of Nigel's countrymen.
It's unbelievable. All right, now just take
it. So Orlando was playing with 10 men. They had received a red card. They were down a man.
Okay,
I just got solicited. Mike turned off. 95th minute, and there's 6 minutes of extra time. So they're in the last minute of the game. Orlando down a man. The United has a corner kick, and they brought up the goalie, as teams will sometimes do, for essentially the last play of the game. It's not like hockey. You don't pull your goalie in soccer, as I know you're aware. But sometimes in this instance, they will, because there's really no chance
that
the field can't get flipped that quickly. Well, the corner kick gets ricocheted and kicked way out past midfield. One of the Orlando players is running to get it. Wayne Rooney
running to get
the gap.
It has it.
Will
has it.
Will,
and is headed toward an empty net.
Yes.
Wayne correct. Rooney, now let me just step in to say this. Wayne Rooney was one of the great stars of international soccer.
Yes, one of our
He is done now as a great star. That's why he's in the United States of America, where he's better than everybody else, but he's not good enough anymore to even play on his national team in England.
At the right. ripe old he's age getting of 32.
He's getting a lot of money, and nobody expects him to put out any sort of effort at all.
So he chases this down. Tackles the guy, gets the ball.
Fantastic.
Legally tackles the guy.
Yeah, legally tackles it, fires it to
makes
his teammate.
A great play.
Teammate, which I guess was completes a hat
kicks
trick.
Kicks it
for
about
him.
50 right. yards in the air, right on the head of the
to
other guy.
To his
right.
tiny teammate.
Right,
5 foot Acosta.
3. Yeah, Acosta. Yeah. And it's a brilliant win. And this is the quote from head coach Ben Olsen. He says, "That the play he makes is what he's about. That's how you soccer, Jack."
Yeah.
That's actually good.
Yes.
That's actually good.
Not a play you've ever really
what
seen
else?
Before.
No.
Very cool.
Fantastic.
Right, awesome.
Mr. Tony, I want to give you this story. We can't verify
this is true.
By the
way, United, who was buried, I think, in very last place, 4-1-1 since Wayne Rooney has started to play.
Yeah. He's scored once, assisted 3 times, and I love this, suffered a broken nose with 5 stitches after defending
his hair
kick.
Is perfect.
His hair is perfect, yes.
I can vouch for that.
This is a story that Ms. Clark sent me
They're
earlier
playing
today.
Tonight.
Are they? And you can watch that game right here at Chatter.
Chatter.
Yeah. That's right.
On the one TV that we allow to have soccer.
It's downstairs.
All the other TVs have the nets.
I have to take the glasses off to read this. So this is, Tori sent this to me. We don't know if this is actually true, but we choose to believe it's true.
We think it's true.
It's an actual police report, it says, from Camp Pendleton. We think from about a year ago, last September.
Why is this making the news today?
Well, it's because it's just finding its way to us. September 15th, male Navy enlisted first class petty officer exited a bar intoxicated in an attempt to drive a personally, what is it called?
POV.
A POV, what is that? A
personally owned vehicle.
Personally owned vehicle equipped with a breathalyzer interlock system. The suspect was too intoxicated to successfully start the vehicle, so he went to the park where he captured a raccoon. Rummaging in a trash receptacle. The individual.
Wait, he captured a raccoon?
Captured the raccoon.
Don't ever
easy
mess
to do
with
in a dumpster.
The individual.
How did they know he didn't coerce it verbally?
The individual utilized the raccoon to blow into the interlock system successfully. But the raccoon became unconscious from being squeezed and was discarded in the floorboard of the vehicle. Until a short time later when the raccoon regained consciousness and began to attack the suspect while driving, causing the vehicle to crash into a residential fence. The vehicle came to a complete stop in an in-ground swimming pool.
I choose to believe this.
The suspect sustained numerous scratches and bite marks to the hands, face, stomach, and arms. The raccoon remains at large.
Great. I choose to believe.
I choose to believe that.
All right,
as well.
We'll get out of here.
Yes.
We'll come back with Old Guy. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talking about Casper for some time now. That's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend a third of your life sleeping, you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. That's important, sink and bounce. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Sleeping cool is very important. I very often just kick the covers
off. One leg out?
Yeah, one leg out all the time. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array of other, it's hard to say wide array.
That's a tough one.
It's tricky. Really hard.
It's a mouthful.
You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, getting a different result. You've been saying that for months.
It's so hard. Could somebody write me other copy?
Yeah,
pillows, sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box. Plus free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And for my listeners on this podcast, intermittent as it is, although starting in September, we're going back to work.
That's right.
Casper's offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/Tony. Use the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper, CASPER.com/Tony, and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the Beatles. Why are we playing this?
Because on this day in 1969, the Beatles went into the studio and recorded the
White Album.
No, this is from Abbey Road.
Oh, okay.
They recorded the following songs: Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, The End, Something, and Here Comes the Sun.
Okay, so it's a good day for them.
Yeah.
It's a good day for the Beatles.
Yeah.
I had four pars today, but I didn't record any songs.
And this song, I've got a quote I'm going to read to you, but this Abbey Road came out, I think, about a month later, September of 1969, which was
one of the greatest.
That was the last album they worked together.
The greatest album
of all. Just phenomenal.
Did you see Ringo Starr's tweet from today?
No.
Ringo Starr tweeted out this morning, 56 years ago, Ringo Starr asked to join the Beatles. I think you know the rest.
Oh, yeah, then that's another story, yeah. They fired Pete Best. And then there was a quote from somebody else that they went to before they went to Ringo, and his girlfriend was speaking, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't, you know, he didn't want to take that job because he'd be away from me." So this bloke turned down a job with the Beatles.
What an idiot!
Well, he said to her later in life, he said, "I wouldn't change a thing because I've had a wonderful life with you."
Well, God bless him.
Yes,
and he's working construction.
What a schmuck!
And that's a lie. The three guitar solos that rotate through that song, the end. And it's the first it's McCartney, then it's Harrison, and then it's John Lennon. Jeff Remick, the Beatles recording engineer that day, said John, Paul, and George looked like they had gone back in time, like they were kids again, playing together for enjoyment of it. More than anything, they reminded me of gunslingers with a guitar strapped on, looks of steely-eyed resolve, determined to outdo one another.
Good for
yet
them.
There was no animosity, no tension at all. You could tell they were simply having fun.
They loved each other. It's like me and Wilbon.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's not like Mike and the Mad Dog.
No.
But
they had so much acrimony leading up to that. Yeah.
So I went out to the beach last week for a few days to play in the MLI. I had three birdies. I did very well in the MLI, though my teammates let me down. These things happen. I ended up playing with the Socialite and with Nathan, and I had a very good time. Michael, are you going out to the beach this weekend?
We were hoping to.
Is there any reason you can't?
Waiting for Bootsy to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it should be nice. You should go out there, should
play. Waiting for Bootsy to drive.
Have a good time. So how's your summer been, Gary?
Don't drive angry.
My summer, I would rate as average as best.
It's what are you
pretty,
doing?
Pretty uneventful.
Did you get tomatoes and peppers? You got crops?
Actually, it's interesting you should say that. Tomatoes, of course, easily. Tomatoes, tons of cukes. We had lettuce and beans and...
Really? You're growing lettuce?
Zucchini, yeah.
Oh, that's
a lot
great.
Of lettuce. But the peppers all this year we actually did not go from seed. We sort of missed the boat on that, so we had to order. I won't mention the company from which we ordered seedlings, but they all came essentially diseased and never never turned into anything.
That's sad.
Oh, I got my money back. They're not going to roll me like that. But a single pepper.
Do you know we have a garden out here? Chatter has a garden.
Oh yeah,
I've seen
lots of beans and lots of tomatoes in the back.
It's next to the dump.
In the back.
So the chef does his own herbs and whatnot.
Yeah, it's really good. Excellent. Tori, how's your summer so far?
Excellent. I don't want to make Gary feel badly, but
we had
a great summer. Lots of fun, you know.
Where have you
been?
Two
out of three kids home. Went to Spain. Did the Ibiza thing. Which
Fantastic.
You only need to do once and then get a liver transplant and life can go on.
Now, that wasn't the extent of your Spain trip, though, right? You had to do Madrid or Barcelona or something, or you just went to Ibiza?
We did Madrid on the way in and... No, Barcelona on the way in, Madrid on the way out.
Okay.
Yeah. But
had a good time.
Really good time.
People in Spain like Americans.
Yeah.
Different
Spain's
than,
lovely.
Different than other places
Spain is
on the continent.
Lovely people, lovely food, lovely wine. And as I was saying before the show, just recently went to the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia. Since it doesn't really compete with Chatter, I can
recommend it. Did you sign in as Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Did not sign in.
Got served.
But I was saying to Michael, it's lovely. It's tiny. It's a tiny restaurant, tiny room. It must
like
have been
how
quite,
does it compare to
it's
sort
the
of
size
the
of
area?
The, no, it's the size of this studio.
Of the studio,
really?
Yeah. Which is nothing.
Very.
We
small.
Are
yeah.
welcome
so you're talking eight
and
tables,
open
maybe.
To
eight
serve tables. You. We are a full service for profit restaurant in Chatter.
Yeah, but it was
and
a
we
lovely
have tables.
Lovely restaurant, lovely people. A lot of no firearms.
And
that's a long
on the
way
on the
out.
Premises.
Good food.
That's a
Wait,
hike.
Well, we were down in Lexington, anyways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael, how's your summer so far?
You know,
I haven't seen you much.
No, we don't talk anymore. My summer is every
so it
day.
Like it's been great.
You
know,
should
it's,
we
yeah,
leave?
That's been great. Every day with the boys is exactly the same when we're in town. I spend about 2 hours at various parks or libraries throughout D.C., and I'm now convinced that there are bullies in the parenting and nanny share groups out there that go to the park. And they just pick out what they think is the best
Get
toy
the
or the best swing. And they park at the swing for 25 straight minutes, rotating kids through, as Walkman and I are just sitting there on the ground, staring longingly, because we'd like to use the swing.
Why don't you just take matters into your own hands and whack somebody in the mouth?
Well, I'm very aware as to my physical presence being around small kids and around a lot of parents and nannies and school groups that are physically smaller, so I try and be very friendly and get down on the ground with the kids.
That's good for a while, but at some point you have to be assertive.
Give me the swing.
Or do you just get there earlier and get your swing early?
So does not matter what time of day. The other thing is the DC parks at 10 a.m., the water feature gets turned on, and these parents go nuts. They're calling their lawyer friends, every contact they have.
What does that mean?
So it's a little spray park.
Yeah, but they don't want to get... They're mad that they get wet?
No, they are. If it's 10:05 and that thing's not on, they're calling their local ward rep.
I understand that.
But we had a great trip to Michigan. We thought the boy would walk out there. This was my WASPy in-laws enclave, the family compound, where my cell phone service was shut off and Wi-Fi was not granted
to
me.
It's like right out of the scene in Get Out.
Though everyone else in the house was able to use the Wi-Fi. And our trip ended with, I didn't tell you about this.
No.
Our flight from Grand Rapids,
well,
we were
canceled.
On the plane for an hour. They canceled the plane, so we had to stay in Grand Rapids
like
for an extra
Like at a courtyard
night.
Or something.
Walker, he was great on that travel day.
Yeah, it couldn't have been really
Dad was not so great.
Yeah. Kid's a good traveler.
Dad, you back?
Better
you know,
traveler than his grandpa.
Everything's good. So I wanted to tell you a small story.
Can I just share one thing?
Yeah, how was your summer?
Summer's been fantastic. It's great to see everybody again. I miss you guys.
I've really missed doing this.
Yeah,
it's not that I want to do it every day. Well, I prefer to do it 4 days a week and not five, honestly, because I'm old and I can't do...
Who are you going to bump off the show then?
Like, I don't know about that. I mean, I just can't do PTI and the podcast 5 days a week. But I really love this.
It's great to be back
in
here.
I miss it.
Yeah. When we talked yesterday, it was like, this is great. Let's do a show.
Let's just do a show.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do a show.
Do a show Monday.
We're
going to
do a show on Monday and the following Monday, right?
Sure.
Why not?
But what
and
we
then it's game on.
I just want to announce that our good friend, Adam Ferrara, is going to be in town. He's flying in tomorrow night. He's going to be at the Arlington Draft House performing two shows.
Saturday, Sunday?
On Friday and Saturday. 7:30 on Friday and a 10 o'clock show on Friday. I will be on stage for both first shows, so 7:30 on Friday and then 7 o'clock on Saturday.
When's the second show, Saturday? I'm in Cincinnati. The
second show is 9:30.
All right, so this is interesting. Oh, by the way,
Adam
Ferrara, so we should say this, because Adam listens, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So my friend Tom Jones, not that Tom
not
Jones,
that.
It's not
but my
YouTube
friend Tom Jones, who books acts,
right?
He said to me, I booked Adam. I know Adam. And Adam said he didn't know me, and I've booked Adam and shows, so we got to get Tom Jones and Adam Ferrara together.
We will.
I'm just happy to do this. I mean, it makes me happy to be here and do this. I like the evening things in the summer, though. That's
nice.
Pretty nice.
No,
I'd like to try to build a crowd for Chatter if I could, because my daughter is making desserts.
Fantastic.
Chatter, so, really
good. Let me just tell you the story.
Brownies are great.
So on Monday, I was very, very excited about doing this. I was extremely excited. I had the opportunity to play Wingfoot.
Ooh.
And I think Michael would tell you, Wingfoot is a top 10 rated course every single year. Am I right?
And recently redone.
And it's going to be the host of the U.S. Open in 2020. So I was really excited to do it. It was a charitable event, and the beneficiary of the charity was the New York Athletic Club Athletes Fund. Right, so the New York Athletic Club physically is right next to the Essex House. And so every time I stay at the Essex House, I pass by the New York Athletic Club. I've never been in. I know it's got a great history, but I don't know much about it.
Do you have time for a 20-second Essex House hotel
story? Sure, go ahead.
Many years ago, staying there, I don't know what reason. Somebody's paying for it. And kind of middle of the night, wake up, hear some noise, like, ugh, go back to sleep. And so I leave, crack of dawn to go wherever I was going, come back to my room. Somebody two doors down had been murdered.
Nice.
Wow.
Boom.
Okay. What a great
I can never look at it again. And you know, it's in a very primary.
I stay there all the time.
Right. It's in a very primary, great location.
Love it. Right across from the park.
Yeah, nice people.
So I get up at 3:30, right? I take care of the dog. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I have a car meeting me at 5:45 for a 6:45 Acela up to New York. I get there. Everything is fine, except it's raining from Baltimore up. Baltimore, Philadelphia, Trenton, New York, and it's raining. I get in a car. I get driven out to Wingfoot, Mamaroneck, New York. Beautiful course. Two different courses, much like Congressional. Historic, one of the most beautiful clubhouses, a stone clubhouse, one of the most beautiful clubhouses I've ever seen. And I'm fearful that we're not going to play. Now, the morning group has played 9 holes. I'm in the afternoon group. We're supposed to go at about 1. It's dicey. Okay. A guy comes over to me. He introduces himself. Everybody introduces themselves. I didn't even really catch his name. He's a big guy, and he watches PTI, and he thanks me for being part of this because he's affiliated with the New York Athletic Club. And I say, you know, fine, great, you know, great. And that's sort of the end of our conversation. As time goes on, it becomes obvious we're not going to play. If you're the superintendent of this course, you can't let people out. It's right. Soaked. It's ponding. You just can't do it. And we all understand that. And a guy makes an announcement that we're not going to play, but there's a rain date. There's a rain date on a Monday in October. And that's tough for me to get to because that's NFL Monday. That's our highest. We've lost a lot of viewership. That's our highest one. But I happen to be there with an executive, and he said, you're coming back.
Nice.
And so, okay, I'm going to come back. Anyway, the guy who introduces himself to me gets up and he makes a speech. And the speech goes like this. I was a wrestler. I wrestled for the New York Athletic Club. And I thought to myself, what do you mean? Did you have meets? And he goes on and on. And he said, I also was in 4 Olympic Games for the United States of America. I won 2 golds. I won a silver. And in my last games in 1996 in Atlanta, I carried the flag in the opening ceremonies.
Oh, my God.
I never had anything as thrilling as this in my life. I carried the flag, and I was fortunate I got a bronze in that. So he's got 4 Olympic medals, including 2 golds. Let's go around the table. Who's got Olympic medals? I don't.
It's more than Urban Meyer has championships.
Yeah. Yes. You have any, Tori?
No, but can I read you the text from Brian, who's sitting at the bar?
Can I just mention this guy's name?
Well, I don't want to kill the end of your story.
Oh, go ahead.
Because this is going to make your guy seem even more spectacular. Because Brian's listening to this conversation. He texts me, FYI, I played for the New York Athletic Club water polo team. Obviously, a long time ago. Obviously, Brian. When we showed up for practice. When we showed up for practice, the then naked middle-aged dudes would be leaving.
Oh, I was going to say the wrestlers would give us swirlies. Stuck our heads in the toilet.
This guy's a big guy. He's a big guy.
Big guy.
His name is Bruce Baumgartner.
Totally remember this with the flag.
Bruce Baumgartner. He's now 57 years old.
Totally.
When he was done speaking, I walked up to him. I shook his hand again, and I said, it's a thrill, an honor to be in your presence. He qualified for 1980 where we did not compete in Moscow.
Ooh, yeah.
He competed in 84, 88, 92, and 96.
Wow.
And I went to all of them.
That's fantastic.
I went to all of them. He was a freestyle wrestler. He won 4 medals, including 2 gold. 2 gold.
Wow.
Again, Nigel, how many do you have? Because I don't have any.
Almost 1. But none.
I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know his name,
You didn't recognize that name?
I remember
when you said it to me,
flag.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
What a he's an American hero.
Absolutely.
That's
fantastic.
And, so, you know, and by the way, in those days, Olympians didn't make any money, and they had to train 365 days a year.
And some people say wrestling is the purest form of competition.
Maybe.
Right? If you really, right.
Maybe.
So, oh, that's exciting.
And he was doing it in his late 30s, right? Not, I mean, if he's 57 and 96, he was 30,
yeah. Yeah, 38 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic.
He won gold.
I bet she's
two gold medals.
Bet she's a good golfer. Did you have a conversation about
that? Did not.
Pro I've gotten participation.
Are wrestlers
ribbons.
Are always very good golfers.
Isn't that nice? I've gotten orange slices. So I'm really,
so
I was
cool.
proud to meet him.
That's really cool.
And proud that my presence may have helped in some way the New York Athletic Club, which does a great job. So
that's
that was really
cool.
nice.
Very nice.
So you're
going
to be able to,
how about the guy that recognized you on the train?
A lot of people recognize me on the train, and they say La Chiserie. I mean, that happens a lot.
Oh, I thought the guy that sat across from you on the train.
This was great. So now I'm coming home late at night, and I'm in a circumstance where I'm facing forward in a one-seat situation.
First class, quiet car, or regular?
First class.
Okay.
One-seat situation, but the table, so the other seat faces you. And I couldn't get one of the solitary seats.
Oh, you have to box out.
So a guy gets on the train in Philadelphia.
Wide stance.
Guy gets on a train in Philadelphia and sits opposite me and says to me, "Are you that PTI guy?"
Mike Wilbon, nice to meet you.
You that PTI guy? Yeah. We begin to talk, and he's a very, very pleasant guy. He spends 1 week a month in Tokyo. He's involved with a software company, 1 week a month in Tokyo. His first name is George. I introduced myself. He introduced himself. We had a very pleasant conversation. He was going on. He was going on to Boston. This was the early train. He was going on to Boston, and we had a nice chat, and I didn't know what to say when he said, "Are you the PTI guy?" I mean, and I think I wrote, "Michael, would you read the last sentence?"
The last line,
yeah.
Quote, "I'm trapped here like a badger in a cage." So maybe that conversation wasn't as fruitful as you remember.
That's right. Someone was very
We should hook him up. Who's our friend at the Tokyo American Club over there? We should hook him
Peter
up.
Peter Jennings,
yeah.
not
yeah,
that
yeah, not
guy.
That
I
Peter
told
Jennings.
Him about that. And okay. I was wildly typing Nikki about the train ride and how late it was and this, that, and the other thing. Anyway, we're done here. We'll come back with email and jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You have personally milked a cow with your hands, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, 100.
So and
100.
Buster O'Neill. He's never been on your show, so I am sure there's stuff you'd like to know about baseball. Can the Nats go on a run? But you found out with farming he is wise, and so you'll shout, "Does milk have to be pasteurized?" No, it's fine to drink. Man, does this show stink?
The stupid
idiot never ends. This is what he talks about. The only f***ing question he has now is, have you milked the cow? Buster, could you squeeze it out now? No, I don't really care about Mike Trout. But have you milked the cow?
Joe Arrow, that is great.
Tremendous.
Beautiful.
That is great.
So brilliant.
Before we get to the
mailbag,
let me
Chad.
Thank Barry's Verluga for coming on with us today. Let me thank our sponsors, Casper Mattresses, ZipRecruiter, and Lowe's. Remember to listen, subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. We'll do this again Monday.
Yeah.
All right, here's some stuff. Justin Campbell in Lexington, Kentucky. Tiger Woods finished second in the PGA Championship, and naively, I assumed there'd be a pop-up podcast with Mr. Tony and Michael and Sanzi discussing the Tiger comeback. It's now Wednesday, no podcast. Did Nigel burn down chatter? Is everyone okay? I'm worried. Well, because on Monday I was going to go and play at Wingfoot, and we never got out. Matt Sikowitz, Bowie, Maryland. If an email is read in the forest and Nigel deletes the segment, does it make a sound?
Good
we
one.
Set the board to negative 11. Yeah, the last one, we didn't have all of that stuff.
Sorry about that.
From Cheeve in Somerville, Massachusetts. Were there any littles at the August 6th recording who have a bootleg tape of the mailbag segment they'd be willing to share with the rest of us?
There you go.
From Steve Reeder in San Diego. It's please brilliant. Don't advocate for the deportation of Gio. He is obviously Chessie's favorite player, knowing how much she loves walks. From Tim Cree in Fort Collins, Colorado. Here's the team name I intend to use this year. Turn your head and goff. That's funny. That's funny. Turn your head and goff is funny. Jason Blazer. I have more than a couple of fellow little friends. One of our most important rallies of self-worth is emails read on the pod. As the clear and worthy frontrunner, I would be quite perturbed if your overlook would have taken a reading away from me. Feel free to reach out with any compensatory offering that will help squash my outrage. From, who's this from? Todd Sanzone.
Todd Sanzone?
Yeah, your recent Todd foray into the Todd unfamiliar Sanzone. World of French dining, and more to the point, minuscule portions, rang true with an experience I had several years ago. While on our honeymoon in St. Martin, my wife and I chose for dinner one night this wonderful restaurant overlooking the beach. The decor and overall atmosphere was elegant and romantic, while still quite casual and relaxingly beachy. The adult beverages were tremendous. The food plates were beautiful and appealing in every way. The service was top-notch, and we wanted for nothing except, did we eat? Hello, we are starving. We had no choice. When we got back to our resort, my new bride and I ordered Domino's pizza, delivered at midnight. Here you go, honey, a slice of pepperoni. How romantic, eh? Todd Sanzone, Raleigh, North Carolina, by way of Baltimore, Maryland, hon. So that was good. Ron Rushworth in Charleston, West Virginia. I nearly drove off the road when I heard you doing the read for Craftsman Tools. All I could think about was the old David Brenner bit where he said, a Jew can fix anything with one finger, then making a summoning gesture with his index finger. Come here, fix this. By the way, speaking of that, I watched part one of the Gary Shandling documentary.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Bill Isaacson, if you can hear this, it is great.
Well, it's really good.
I watched it last night for about 90 minutes. It was great. Sam Angel, Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania, from Drexel. Allow me to introduce the newest little Chelsea Jean Angel, born July 30th, 7 pounds, 7 ounces, 19 and 3/4 inches long. She and Mom and Karen are doing great. I thought we did that. Didn't we do that the other day? Chelsea is short, smart, and funny, thereby qualifying her for an on-air email read. Yeah, we did this. She showed us.
She'd probably be walking before Bootsy.
I would think so. From Steve Clemenson in Edgewater, Maryland. Nigel, don't sweat the emails. It's just one of those things. It sometimes happens. If you want to make it up to all of us littles, the next time Saliz is on the show, just edit out his part to turn his mic down and we'll be square. Hopefully Dr. Tony doesn't refer to you as Cliffy the next time he sees you. Littles love you, Nigel, the man behind the man.
Littles love you, Nigel.
From Scott Burgoon. Whoa.
Can't be.
My name is Scott Burgoon from Arlington, Texas, official home of the Dallas Football Cowboys. I need a brush with greatness. The last one I had was when I met Larry Cole back in the 70s. So hearing your reference to Bronson Burgoon, it made me wonder if I was related to him. Could you find out for me? What are we, Ancestry 23? By the way, even though your show stinks, it is the greatest and best radio podcast ever. Is that praise enough, Michael? From John Mioli in Baltimore, when you were talking to Jason Lockenfora last week about CFL quarterbacks keeping Johnny Manziel off the field, he was searching for that man's name when he said mine, John Mioli, instead. The littles in my life were thrilled by the slip, which makes sense considering I cover the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun, and Jason has certainly had a lot to read about. You know, even the most accidental connective tissue counts, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right, listen. I can't get to the other ones. I'll get to the other ones on Monday. If you're out on your bike tent, everyone, as always, do wear white.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Thanks, everybody.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very fun.
Such a small place, I was told to stand in this space. Don't move, she said, you'll get used to it. Big ideas, long nights, sticking through those tough times. I think of you and getting caught. Watch you move, peaceful plan, don't give up. Please let it hurt, hold on tight and whisper, I'm afraid. I have no voice,
There's a light at the end of the night, and the red sun tells me to go. Hit the gas, prepare to bypass life as we know it, no one knows. There's a girl at the end of the block, and our eyes meet as we drive by. Turn the car around and go back to town. At least I can stop and say hi. Hello, Washington, D.C. Try to tell me what's going on.